Bijou Zakurasil by Meg Yal, read by Kansu Ame. Chapter 1. Bijou Zakura. Kakashi stood to one side of the sealed opening to a cave and watched Aruka-sensei pore over the strange patterns etched into the weathered surface of the stone. The teacher was muttering to himself, fingers hovering over the lettering.
"I can see the chakra symbol that's being used as a key," Kakashi offered in a drawl,
his right hand stuck into one pocket, while the long fingers of his left twitched as his hand hung at his side.
"Do you want me to show you where it is?"
"One moment, Kakashi Tachyo," Aruka replied almost absently. He tapped the stone beside one particularly large symbol and exhaled heavily through pursed lips. Kakashi exchanged a bemused look with Hiromasa, the medanin that completed their three-man team for this mission. He shifted his weight from one leg to the other, stifling an impatient sigh. Kakashi had been taken aback when the sensei had been recommended for this particular rescue mission. It was the summer holidays, and he suspected that for one of the reasons for placing Aruka was to bring his field duty records up to scratch, while the academy was on break. Kakashi had requested Naru Shikamaru because the mission file had indicated the possibility of traps. However, Shikamaru was on a diplomatic mission in Suna and would not return in time for this assignment, according to communication scrolls. Shikamaru had suggested using the Chunin Sensei in his place. Kakashi had been doubtful, at the very least, but the Hokage had seemed pleased with the idea. The mission involved two warring tribes at the southwest border of the Fire Nation. The princess of the Ten Ravens tribe had been kidnapped by a group that had originated from Water Country and which now called their tribe Archer. The leader of Ten Ravens had sent urgent missives to their daimyo asking for help in the safe return of their precious heir. The Fire Lord, in turn, had passed on the request to his hidden village of Shinobi, and Kakashi had set out with his three-man team, and some misgivings, traveling quickly to the village of Ten Ravens. Their current leader was a tall, coolly polite young man named Sho. "The Archer tribe has done us a grave disservice," Sho, a cousin of the kidnapped princess, had explained. "We had thought that they would be our allies. Instead, they have taken Hitomihime to join with their clan and give them leverage among the other tribes. If you are not able to retrieve her," he said, his expression darkening even more, "then we will wage war on Archer." "We'll do our best," Kakashi said mildly, and Sho had nodded, satisfied for the time being. They had set out for the Archer tribe that very day, coming upon the large cave with massive rocks blocking their entry. Other large boulders overhung this access, delicately balanced high above their heads. Kakashi had immediately set Aruka to the task, partly as kind of a test. To his growing disgruntlement, even after 5 minutes, Aruka was still gazing at the puzzle set at eye level in the closest rock, obviously the keystone in the whole structure. Moving it, without properly figuring out the code, could mean the whole thing coming down on top of them and warn their quarry of their presence. "That one is the key," Kakashi pointed out now, as Aruka's finger continued to tap near the large symbol. "The chakra there is particularly concentrated." It was interesting that chakra had been used, Kakashi thought to himself. That meant that there were either shinobi in the Archer clan or a priest proficient enough in its use. Aruka gave him a quick look out of the corner of his eye, a mixture of amusement, annoyance, and a slight brush of scorn. Kakashi raised his eyebrow, and that complex gaze flickered away. "I know it's the key, Kakashi-san," Aruka said flatly. "It says key. And I can feel the chakra too, but it's just too obvious."
"Is it?" Kakashi responded in the same bland manner.
"Yes,
A key by itself doesn't open or close a door, does it? It needs a lock.
That makes sense, Hiramatsu said, expression serene. He was a tall, bulky man, with a weather-beaten face. Kakashi had seen this man in battle, and his fingers were quick and gentle, chakra steady and sure. Kakashi frowned in his direction, and Hiramatsu grinned in reply.
"Well, where's the lock, then?" Kakashi snapped impatiently, and took a deep breath as Iruka looked at him with surprise. It was unusual for him to be acting this way, very unusual indeed. But he had been brusque with his team since the very beginning, particularly with Iruka-sensei. There was something about him that just rubbed Kakashi the wrong way. He looked too soft, too easygoing. He wasn't a man that Kakashi would trust implicitly to have at his back.
Oh, Iruka-sensei was loud and brash and brave. That was a fact. He wasn't afraid of any jonin, which made that either admirable or crazy,
and he had a way of communicating that made people obey or trust that his words were true. If he were more powerful, Kakashi thought that he would probably make a great assistant to a Hokage. He'd never given the chunin more than a nod before this. Now he had seen Iruka-sensei every day for the past week, and he just felt jittery and annoyed all the time. Kakashi's were supposed to be the very pinnacle of calm, cool collectedness, according to Guy. Kakashi disliked feeling so on edge all the time, and this internal awkwardness simply fueled his discomfort and sharpened his interactions with the other man. Iruka-sensei's lips tightened, and his eyes went hard as he turned a little more to Kakashi, his stance slightly belligerent.
"I don't know, Kakashi-san," he said in tones dripping with chilly formality. "You are the one with the Sharingan eye. You tell me."
Kakashi pushed off the surface he was leaning against, walking towards Iruka, who stood his ground, and stared right back at him with defiant brown eyes. Kakashi frowned. He liked spiritedness, but not on a mission. He stopped right in front of the teacher and narrowed his normal eye. Iruka flushed red, but did not move or look away. Kakashi turned from him dismissively and raised his hatayate, flickering his gaze over the surface of the massive keystone. The key chakra glowed far brighter than the other symbols, which were joined together by a shining web of lines. A lock. A symbol for lock.
"I see two symbols for lock."
Kakashi's gaze snapped back and forth, gaining more detail in a bare millisecond.
"One is directly above the key symbol, connected by a chakra line. That's the one that's glowing. One isn't shining at all." "So, sensei," he said mockingly, looking at Iruka with both eyes, "which one is it?"
"The one that's not glowing," Iruka said, even though he looked away now from Kakashi's bicolored regard. "It's not open, so that's the one that needs the key."
"That makes sense, too," Hiramatsu offered, and Kakashi rolled his eyes.
"I agree," Kakashi said dryly, and offered Iruka a wry twist of his lips when Iruka finally looked back at him.
"Of course. I knew that before you said so."
Iruka scowled at him. Kakashi merely lifted one shoulder in a lethargic shrug. He pressed his own finger to the second lock symbol and sent a burst of chakra into it. It began to glow right away, and a line flared along the surface, leading from it to the key symbol. The key brightened earnestly, and Kakashi covered his Sharingan as the entire vertical plane of the rock became a shining network of interconnected symbols, visible even at the normal spectral range, since both Iruka and Hiramatsu had turned their faces away from the bright light. The rocks began to roll themselves neatly to each side, moving under a locomotion jutsu that had been activated by the key. Kakashi watched them, stepping back as the space above the keystone was cleared. The keystone itself rolled forward and to the left, leaving the tall entry open and clear. Kakashi stepped forward
and then stopped, looking down on Aruka's hand gripping his bicep.
"Wait just a few moments, Kakashi Tachyo."
He motioned with his chin to the entry, dust floating innocuously through shafts of sunlight.
"If I had gone through all that trouble to set a doorway like that..."
Kakashi tugged his arm away from Aruka's hold and did as he asked, waiting in fairly bad grace. He raised his eyebrow, however, when a barrage of arrows snapped out of a hidden slot in the smooth face of one wall and striking the opposite surface with almost one single heavy sound, quivering slightly. The black stone heads of the arrows gleamed in the shafts of golden afternoon light that streamed inside the cave.
Kakashi shrugged. That was to be expected.
He heard Aruka make a strangled sound in the back of his throat, obviously irritated with him. Kakashi smiled to himself, suddenly feeling immeasurably better. As they dashed cautiously through the dark cave, he wondered idly what else set Aruka's temper off, apart from Shinobi who handed in their messy reports very late, and Academy Genin who wasted time in his classes. The cave went on for a surprisingly long time. Just a single tunnel with a slight downward slope. The walls were glowing with light from some swarm of bioluminescent insect, a green radiance that was helpful in their journey. Gradually, however, this glow began to fade, and a pinprick of bright sunlight grew steadily in the distance. Kakashi raised a fist a few meters from the other end of the cave, a large, well-formed opening. Aruka and Hiromasa immediately landed near where he was crouched, behind a small grouping of boulders piled up against one rocky wall, and watched Kakashi's hands intently as he began to use the silent speech. "Four guards, just on the inside of the exit," he told them quickly. "Four more, on the outside." He pointed at them and then made the symbols for inside. Aruka and Hiromasa nodded their understanding. Just to clarify, he pointed to himself. "I'll take the ones outside." Hiromasa nodded again, but Aruka's gaze was withering, as he thought Kakashi was treating him like a simpleton. Kakashi frowned at him. Of course, it might seem slightly insulting to Aruka, who gave instructions every day and knew how to take them, but Kakashi really couldn't give a shit right now, because misunderstandings meant mistakes. And mistakes could mean failed missions. Kakashi shook his head slightly. He felt like he was 13 again, stiff-necked and a stickler for all rules and regulations. He didn't know what it was about the sensei that made him feel so imbalanced, but he recognized that it was something he needed to work on before it got completely out of control. He held up his fingers and began to fold them in one at a time. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. As soon as his fist tightly clenched, they all leapt from behind their hiding place. Kakashi landed with his two teammates in front of the surprised interior guards, but launched himself out again to deal with the exterior guards. He was pleased to note that as he took out his own targets quickly, the other two were fairly silent as well. As soon as he trussed up his own guards with chakra wire, he dragged them inside the mouth of the cave and propped them up against the rock face. He straightened, looking around for them, and went into a defensive pose when he saw Hiromasa standing right beside one of the guards, who looked perfectly fine and not tied up at all. "It's me, Kakashi-sensei," Aruka said from behind the silver-plated mask that the guards wore, his tone amused. He raised his hands slightly, and Kakashi noted that they were clad in black gloves, which stopped right under the wide sleeves of a dark blue uniform, just at his upper biceps. A long black sleeveless coat went over the uniform, cinched tight around his waist.
"Good," Kakashi said briskly, and Aruka seemed surprised. "That's a very good idea. Find where the princess is quickly as you can, and return to report."
"Yes, Kakashi Tachyo."
Aruka slipped out of the cave silently. Hiromasa and Kakashi crouched at the mouth of the cave, looking out into the surprisingly lovely view. The mouth of the cave opened out into a lush, hidden valley, trees rising out of shadowed undergrowth, while the surrounding rocky hills loomed over the valley in a protective ring. Without the long cave that wormed its way underneath one of those hills, it would have been quite difficult to get into this valley. Barely 10 minutes went by before Kakashi heard what sounded like the innocuous chirps of a common bird, but with the underlying message which signaled that a Konoha shinobi was approaching. Aruka slipped back in a few moments later and knelt on the floor near them, quickly talking as he removed his mask. "We need to hurry. I found the princess, but she's in some kind of binding ceremony, apparently with the son of the leader here." Aruka paused, fiddling with the mask in his hands. "I don't think the son wants to marry her either," he pointed out. "They have him tied up as much as she is."
"Lead us there," Kakashi commanded. "I trust you found a shortcut?"
Aruka flashed him a quick grin, and Kakashi blinked as he pulled the silver mask over his face. Without the irritation at Kakashi, Aruka's face had a pleasing quality. He was kind of plain, in Kakashi's humble opinion, but that smile was tinged with a kind of mischief that Kakashi could relate to. Kakashi exhaled, feeling lighter. The strange displeasure had left him, and finally, they felt like a complete team. "Follow me in the tree line." Aruka rose and dashed out. Hiromasa and Kakashi followed close behind. They hurtled down the slope from the cave, and when the trees thinned out over the carefully constructed cobblestone path, Aruka slowed down to a quick walk, as the other two kept to the foliage. The cobblestone path met up with a larger street, which Aruka kept to for only a few moments before he turned onto another side road, one which ran close to the encroaching forest. Now and again, another archer guardsman would walk on this street, and Aruka would adopt their odd march, left arm folded close to the body to clinch the fist at the chest, right arm swinging in time with long strides. It was an effective mimicry, and they followed him without any interruption until they arrived at a large wooden temple, a large river running behind it. Kakashi peered out from the thick foliage of the tree he and Hiromasa were hiding in, watching Aruka brazenly push through the throng of other guards and archer civilians until he came to the very edge of a large round podium. On it, two young people were bound and seated on ornately carved thrones, surrounded by 4 or 5 men dressed as priests. A girl, around the age of 12 or 13, was struggling in her throne, curses that no princess should know flowing from her lips. Beside her, a boy of roughly the same age sat limply. His eyes were glowing, a swampy green shade that was some sign of mind control. Kakashi frowned beneath his mask. "No!" The kidnapped princess screamed at a priest that inched near her, and the crowd muttered restlessly. The people didn't seem to be in agreement with this whole procedure at all, and Kakashi noted that for his own report. It might be helpful in future diplomatic wranglings. The crowd actually surged forward, and another priest held up his hand commandingly, halting the protesting action. "This I do for my people," this priest cried, and the crowd's mumblings began to melt away. The man who spoke was obviously the head of the priests, and quite likely the leader of the Archer clan, judging from the reactions of the crowd. "With the latent powers of this princess, joined to that of my son, our tribe will grow powerful." There were a few half-hearted cheers, but the priest's eyes were fervent with his belief, ignoring the less than enthusiastic response. "They will become bound together in lifelong commitment," the priest said tenderly, lifting his hands and moving them in a slow, ceremonious manner. Light began to pulsate between his palms, weakly at first, then flaring to a brightness that was almost painful to look at. It was chakra, a lot of it, strong and very unrefined. The sound of it was an insistent buzz that seemed to push at the eardrums, and the people gathered below began to grimace and back away. Out of the corner of his eye, Kakashi could see Hiramasa raise his hands and place them over his own ears. A few moments later, Hiramasa pressed his palms to Kakashi's ears and left a protective layer of chakra that held out most of that sound. Kakashi nodded his thanks and began to make seals quickly. The light in the priest's hands split into two as he pulled his hands apart, holding one each over the heads of the trapped children. The princess had gone past curses and was now sobbing openly. Kakashi had almost completed the long series of hand seals needed for the water dragon jutsu, and then Hiramasa lurched forward in surprise. Haruka, obviously and predictably moved by the tears of a child, had jumped onto the podium, kicking the priest right in the chest. As the priest stumbled backwards, Haruka brandished a kunai and hacked at the girl's bonds. "Shit!" Kakashi hissed. "Suton! Suroyuda no jutsu!" The water rose with a massive roar and hovered over the platform in the shape of a menacing dragon. Wails of fright rose from the crowd, and people wisely began to vacate the area. Even the assistant priests raced to the end of the platform and jumped off. Kakashi and Hiramasa propelled themselves onto the stage, even as Haruka undid the bonds from around the boy, pulling him up to stand. The priest was shrieking wordlessly as he released the balls of light from his hands, and they streaked towards the children. Haruka grabbed them both, turned around to shield them protectively, and screamed as the balls of light crashed into his back. The water dragon, under Kakashi's direction, flung itself towards the priest and pushed him over the side of the stage and into the river, the imposing form of the dragon splashing back to its origin. Haruka, the princess, and the priest's son were lying curled up on the surface of the stage. As Kakashi raced towards Haruka, Hiramasa close on his heels, he saw the boy cough weakly, and a small green worm fell from his mouth. Hiramasa stepped on the mind-numbing insect, crushing it beneath his sandal. "Hiramasa, check them first," Kakashi commanded, and knelt beside Haruka's limp body. "Idiot," he snapped desperately, as he reached out to grasp Haruka's shoulder and pull him onto his back. "Why did you do?" An immense jolt of energy flashed up Kakashi's arm as soon as he touched Haruka. It felt like a rikiri gone wrong. It seeped into the rest of his body with alarming speed, crinkling his nerve endings and snapping his synapses. His chakra lurched and shuddered in his body, and to his alarm, it began to change, twisting almost out of Kakashi's control. There was a rushing of sensation and emotion, bright lights, panic, and a voice that seemed to drill itself into the middle of his brain. Kakashi's mind refused to handle it all and simply shut down.